What is going on, everyone? You know what? I should say salutations, and I want to keep recording at this stage. Salutations! That's such a terrible intro, Maddie, so you know, whenever you listen to this.
Oh my God.
This
oh my
is the Lone Mole Wanderer, and welcome to week 83 of the Ham Radio Podcast. You know what's very funny, though? Maddie won't... he'll put it up on his channel without listening to it. That's the level of trust we have with each other.
Can we just make it...
We should mess it up so bad.
I'm looking at you, Rachel. Before we get started, though, I'll obviously introduce who's here. But Maddie was very upset, Rachel, that you're on now, and you're never on when he asked you to be on.
Oh,
He's never asked me to be on.
That's conflicting info. Also,
and also, me and Rachel are like a package deal. If you get Rachel, you've got to get me on.
That
and
is,
if you get me on,
you've
got to get Rachel on.
But let's introduce everyone.
It's always been you.
It has always been me. So we have Moodood, we have Nova, and we have Rachel. So everyone say hi at the same time so it sounds all good.
Hi.
Guys, don't
delay there, Rachel.
Don't fucking interrupt each other.
Hey. I know.
How's it going? Yeah, everyone's going good. We've been all bantering before the start of this podcast. And obviously, Noah isn't here. Maddie isn't here. Noah has a very sore throat, apparently. And Maddie is doing something. So all the normal links are in the description below. T-shirt store, all that stuff. I'm assuming that Maddie's going to be doing timestamps and stuff in the description below. So check all that out. Mm-hmm. Fuck, it's week 83 of the podcast. I'm sorry for not being here for the past couple of weeks, I think. But we have a bit of news to talk about today, and let's start off with Fallout. Now, Moodood, you've been quiet, so I want to talk about this, and you have the first response. You can tell Nova and Rachel to be very silent and to not interrupt you. You have my permission.
You're being quiet.
Don't interrupt me.
So, there's been some news about this secret DLC for Fallout 4. There was a listing on SteamDB, which essentially archives all information for games on Steam. And there was a new DLC that popped up, and there's been a recent update to it. Essentially, it's very technical, and I don't understand it, but I want to sound like I know what I'm talking about. It changed depots or something, and the name Terrapin popped up, and people are saying that Terrapin is the new code name of this DLC. And Terrapin actually is a type of turtle. Really weird. It could be a code name. We still don't know what it is at this stage. Moodood, you have free reign to speculate as to what this is.
Okay, so I just got put on the spot.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, well, it could be a giant turtle monster, and then we like jump in it, and then it's like a whole new world. And it's like Bethesda's most detailed and biggest world space. So I think that'd be the best outcome out of everything.
There is an old Bible story, and don't ask me why I know this, but they also used it in Legend of Zelda. This old story, I know, I think it's Bible or it's something else, but there's this old story about how this giant turtle is actually the earth and everything lives on top of the back of the giant turtle. Could we have something like this?
Belief.
Since when Fallout 4 has been Fallout 4 Bible edition, you play as Jesus Christ, find your father, walk through the wasteland of Jerusalem.
That would be a very interesting story, wouldn't it?
I think you could sell those, like, excitingly. But also, didn't Pete Hines, like, specifically point out when he got asked about this, like, in October, like, he's like, no, we said Nuka World is the last one.
Yeah.
We haven't told what we're doing yet.
So Pete Hines on Twitter essentially responded to a number of people saying that, no, this isn't a DLC. Nuka World, as Nova said, was the last one. We don't believe it's VR either. According to Volta Daedalus, they would release that as a separate executable, not just as a DLC. So whatever it is, my best guess is still a HD resolution texture pack, something similar with what they did with Skyrim, but because that would act as a DLC. But what do you think, Rachel?
I think it's a combination of Fallout and BioShock that is going to happen. Oh, just kidding.
Are you speaking my language?
I don't actually think that's going to happen, but wouldn't that be fucking cool?
That would be fucking
Fallout
amazing.
Shock Infinite.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But you remember back in the day, Bethesda and 2K worked together, and we didn't... No, that was... Sorry. They did. They sold Borderlands.
Do not rationalize this.
Okay, fine. Fine. I won't speculate.
It's not
going to
happen. It's not going to happen, so don't. You're going to only let yourself down.
But let's go around the table here and actually ask, if there were to be a final DLC for Fallout 4, what would each of you actually like to see? We can start with Nova.
Oh, God, you put me first.
You know what, guys, get over it. I'll put you on the spot and you'll fucking accept it and you'll like
it. I was hoping you'd put Rachel on and then she would be doing this. I want a DLC. What you get the Nintendo Switch and you get to be Karen and you go to Deathclaw raiding parties left and right. You bring out your Switch, you all have a good time, and then you fuck off back to your house.
And play more Nintendo Switch on your TV.
What
about Karen's you, Mudu? What would you like?
I would like Obsidian to make it.
Oh, God.
Oh, it would be 10 times better.
Oh, it would be 10 times better.
So people need to know that when we do those jokes about Obsidian, it would have been better if Obsidian made it. We're actually joking. Oh, we do like Bethesda and Obsidian, for God's sake. I remember someone that was like, you're going to be alienating your Obsidian fans. I'm like, we are Obsidian fans. We're just joking, for God's sake.
You can be a fan of more than one thing. Who the guess?
No, you can't. Yeah. No, but it's either one side or the other. Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Rachel? What would you like to see? Although, Rachel, I believe that you haven't really played the DLC yet for Fallout 4. Is that correct?
I have not. I haven't had time. And also, like, just many different things are happening, like, game-wise and, like, in my life-wise that I have to make time for other things.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll play them all when, like, a definitive edition of Fallout 4 comes out, I think.
Yeah.
That'll be, like,
instead of jamming them all one by one. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
See, I remember when I got into Fallout initially, it was Fallout 3 Game of the Year edition. I mean, that was
shit.
Same here.
Yeah. God, the DLC for that game was great. Can we all talk about how great Fallout 3 was?
Well, we have to also note that me and you, Lone, since we only played that edition, we never experienced that. Your character died. Fucking restart now, kiddo. And you're like, no!
Kiddo.
Oh, and you know what happened? Fallout New Vegas didn't allow you to play post-game, and everyone's like, no, it's cool, it's Obsidian, it's fine.
That's what kind of gets me about, like, when they're like, Fallout New Vegas is the best. I'm like, but there's a lot of things Fallout New Vegas did really wrong and not that good. Like,
I love how we're bashing on Fallout New Vegas now. All right,
Fallout New Vegas.
I love Fallout New Vegas.
I love it.
Fallout New Vegas is the best Fallout, okay?
You're just making me angry right now. You know what?
The
best Fallout is going to be down to personal preference. I don't think you can objectively say which one's better. Although some people would disagree about Fallout 4.
Yeah.
I don't hate Fallout 4, and I feel alienated for not being like, I hate it. I'm like, I don't hate it. I mean, I like the voice acting, but I also don't kind of like how they did it, but that doesn't mean it's a bad game.
It's not the worst game I've ever played, but I will say the voice acting was great, but I feel like the story didn't necessarily meet the amount of, I don't know if passion is the right word, but like, I feel like the voice actors were super in it and like the story didn't quite mesh with how much they were giving to the story, if that makes sense.
I've talked to Lone about this, but it's kind of the problem with the voice acting in Fallout is it's like in Witcher, you're meant to role play as Geralt of Rivia. But in Fallout, you're meant to be, who do you want to be? You're like, I want to be this guy. Like, you can be that guy, but your voice actor won't be fully on board with how you're playing. You're like, shit.
Yeah. Fallout 4. I think I've made that crystal clear, but I think the thing that it suffered from, both in terms, like, it kind of touches on the voice acting, the voice dialogue, and also the way you can actually build your character. I mean, it's stripped away, I don't want to say dumbed down or simplified, but it's stripped away a lot of the choice that you used to have. So, for example, with character creation in New Vegas, you could really create a unique, specific character. You couldn't just be this ultimate powerful dude in every single category like you can do in Fallout 4, because you can eventually get all perks. And the same thing goes with the voice protagonist. You can't necessarily picture your voice and picture who you want to be in the wasteland, because that's given to you essentially. So in both of those respects, I can see why, you know, fans of New Vegas have a bit of issue with Fallout 4, but that doesn't mean it's a bad game. It means it's a different game.
Well, I hate making this comparison, but I kind of like to say that Fallout 4 is a good game, but it's not a great Fallout game.
I hear that all
the time. I hate making that comparison, but it's just that, like, Fallout 2 and New Vegas and a lot of the time in 3, like, you know, your decisions really had an impact. You can see them, like, happening, or you can, like, feel them, essentially. Like, you know, in New Vegas, like, when you finally meet Benny, or, like, you know, if you let him go and you let him go to the fort, you have, like, multiple options of how to kill him, but you can, like, crucify him, and then he'll be there every time you go and talk to Caesar, and he'll be, like, crying out for, like, his mom. It's pretty funny, but
this,
I mean,
this
like...
This is the beauty. That was the beauty about New Vegas that I really liked, because I went for all of the achievements. So there was this one point... And I think it's kind of similar to Fallout 4, but it's more fleshed out in New Vegas. There's this one point where you have to make a hard save. And then from that point, there's like four or five different directions you go into. You can either, you know, go be on Kaisar's Legion, or you can help with the NCR, or you can, you know, take over the strip yourself, or the, all those options that were there, they were actually legitimate choices. Right. And in that regard, I can understand why New Vegas didn't allow you to play post game, because I couldn't. There's probably no way to actually make that work with so many options being there, but that's the thing that I really liked about it.
I will say, though, I am kind of happy at least they did have their try of going, let's put in a voice actor as the main characters, because I doubt they're going to bring it back. I will say, though, I did enjoy that it made... I listened to more dialogue. I reach a point with Fallout after I've probably played it once or twice where I just kind of skip through all the dialogue. Hmm. Like, I'm like, I really... Like, you know, this... For sure, who cares? Yeah. Except when I was, like, when I was, because I can read faster than what they're saying, and I'm like, I don't want to sit here as Matt Perry slowly goes, Benny will take you to the top. You're like, oh, Matt Perry, hurry up.
God, I
also,
love
can
Benny,
we point out, can we also point out that you may complain about Fallout 4's voice acting, but you cannot say Fallout New Vegas had one of the worst voice acting of all time in any video game Perry as fucking Benny. Like, where was his heart in that performance? It was so boring.
It's so weird because he's such a big fan of Fallout.
Yeah.
So it's like, what?
Yeah, but how good was Leggett Linnaeus? I mean, that guy's voice is fucking magic. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I like Caesar. That was pretty cool. And yeah, Boone was a really deep character, because he was my first companion when I was
dead.
Like 12.
Wife's kidnapped, and it's been a while. You can move on, but my wife.
And the best thing is when you undressed Boone, and he's like, "Can I have my beret back, please?"
Yeah.
Oh my god! Yeah. I always stole his beret, and I never gave it back.
Oh, Rachel, that's very mean. I mean, when he's walking around the wasteland,
people in New Vegas, like a lot of people in New Vegas.
Yeah,
she's a voice actor. I didn't know that until recently.
She was in the Silver Rush or something, wasn't she?
She was like a bunch of different characters. She was like a bunch of different merchants, like, you know, a bunch of different like armed guards and like some quests people. Yeah, and I think she was in Silver Rush. I can't remember.
Like saying. Whatever their names are, I can't remember.
Okay, well, look, we're on this topic, and it's not a news thing, but I want to talk about it anyways. It doesn't seem like Obsidian is going to get the Fallout franchise back. So if there were to be any other developer, who would you each want that developer to be to pick up Fallout? It's a good question, I know. I want to put Rachel on the spot now for Nova.
I mean... I'm interested. That's a hard one.
I don't know.
I would like to see what like BioWare might do with it. I don't know if it would be the right path for Fallout, but I would be interested to see what their ideas would be.
I think the best, and even though I haven't even played the game, I've read enough reviews to know how good it is. CD Projekt Red would probably be a great company to pick up Fallout. Mm.
That'd be great.
I was gonna say Rockstar. See,
that's such a good idea.
Oh, you stole my answer.
Moodoo, he took your thunder.
Yeah, I was thinking like shit. Developers looked at my wallpaper. It's like I read Red Redemption 2. Rockstar. Yep, that's it. Rockstar. That's the one.
Guys, what would a Fallout developed by From Software look like?
Huh. God, that's a good
question. Like a Dark Souls-esque Fallout universe.
Oh, no. No, it's called Metro. We have that game.
Fair. It's fair.
I was talking about the new Metro got talked about.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about that line?
We can during the other segment. Yeah. We should power through this Fallout 4 news. There's another one about finally... Fallout 4 mods coming to the PS4 later this month. There's no specific date, but there's a tweet on Fallout's Twitter that we expect to release it sometime later this month. Stay tuned for updates. Finally, those on PS4, although I don't know how many of you are there left playing Fallout 4, but maybe this will pick up your interest in the game again. I don't know. Like, I guess using this news as a crutch, what if you guys were finished with Fallout 4 on the PS4 and this news came around, would this at all incentivize you to play the game again?
Depends on what mods there are.
It'll be basically, I would. I at least have a little look at what they have on store.
But bearing in mind that on PS4 there won't be any quest mods or anything like that.
Yeah,
and plus there's
the
a
thing.
Big limit, right? It's like 200 megabytes or something.
No, it's
I have Fallout 4 on PS4, and I'm just like really skeptical of whether or not this would actually incentivize anyone.
Yeah,
I think the mod limit is for Skyrim on PS4, it's 1 gig, and for Fallout 4, it's like 900 megabytes. But it's not so much the size as it is the actual mods that are available, and mods that change any external assets can't be there. So in terms of if you've already played through Fallout 4, unless you want to play it through again with, whatever mods there are available, then fine, go for it. But as someone that's finished the game, if you're happy with finishing the game and there's no more content that you want to enjoy, I don't see these kinds of mods as being of interest to you unless somehow there were quest mods, but there's not.
Yeah. I think the better thing would be just get it on PC and actually play it with mods the way it should be played. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah.
You're such an elitist.
I know, Rachel. That's what I'm saying. Like, I have it on PS4, and even I'm saying that.
Yeah.
And you've really played Fallout if you played it on PC. Okay, Rachel.
You're not a true Fallout fan. Dude, you should have seen the backlash I got when I uploaded a video saying that 30 FPS is fine for Skyrim on console.
It is. Oh, I saw that. That was funny.
Oh, what?
Whatever. Play how you want to play.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's my motto.
Any final thoughts on Fallout 4, guys? Before we move on.
I think if they included the one line from New Vegas where they're like, patrolling the Mojave almost makes you wish for a nuclear winter, would have made it way better.
They didn't have that random off the cuff one-liner. They didn't have the arrow in the knee.
It was let's go, pal. Although it wasn't in the game.
It wasn't in the game.
What did NPCs say around towns and shit that really was that off the cuff one-liner?
You have to talk to them. Like, they don't say anything unless you actually talk to them.
But are we really complaining that there wasn't a meme to be driven
into
the ground?
Yes, we are.
Come on, it's not a slide from New Vegas. Please.
No, it's not. Every time I hear it, I die inside. I'm like, oh, shut up. Oh, walking around the Mojave makes me wish for a nuclear winter.
Different voice actors say that, too.
Threw my head off.
That's brilliant.
It did have Tunnel Snake's rule, though. That's one thing.
That came back.
I guess. But what was Fallout 3's one-liner? I don't even know.
Tunnel Snake's rule.
It wasn't Tunnel Snake's rule.
No, that was the Fallout 3's like big meme was Tunnel Snake's rule.
Really? Megaton? No, not Megaton.
God. Yes, it was.
You know what? I want to Google it. Fallout 3.
Fallout 3 meme.
It will be like, oh. Are you trying to play Fallout 3, but then you
top 30 best quotes from Fallout 3 and New Vegas. Okay. Oh, this is a great one from Fallout New Vegas. So this is... I can't remember who the character's name was, but it's when you're in, like, the Helios 1 sun fucking building thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy's like... Yeah. They asked me... Yes, him. Fantastic. And they're like... They asked me how well I understood theoretical physics. I said I had a theoretical degree in physics. They said, welcome aboard. That was a great quote. Oh god!
Wait, Fallout 3's might have been like "shut up and take my bottle caps." That was a thing.
Yeah,
that was in there. That was in the game.
No, it was like memes surrounding the game.
No, we're talking about memes in the game.
About memes in the game. So like, Skyrim's was arrow to the knee. What's Fallout 3's though? I can't think of anything.
I met a woman who actually got shot in the knee with an arrow pull thing. Like, and she told me during that Scar, like a Bethesda Skyrim thing, and she's like, it's really hard telling people about this after being like, because everyone just kind of has a giggle and you're like, no, I got shot in the knee with an arrow. It's quite awful.
Jesus.
And you're like, oh. I'm like, yeah.
Well, I guess we can stop talking about Fallout now. So Dishonored 2, all right? That's the next piece of Bethesda news. I know, like, none of us has really played it. I have it, but...
I've only played, like, the first hour or two.
So we can't really talk about that. But the big news about Dishonored 2 that I've actually experienced are that it has a lot of problems on PC at the moment. I don't know about console, Xbox One, PS4, but it's having a lot of performance problems on PC. And it's really around... If you have anywhere between the minimum and recommended specs for Dishonored 2, roughly anyways, there's a lot of frame rate issues if you ever try and go above high settings. So it goes from high, very high, ultra, right? But for someone like me, for example, I have a GTX 970, 16 gigs of RAM. So like a decent PC. Yet I was getting, I think it was like maybe 30 to 40 frames on ultra, which surprised me. Then maybe 40 to 50 on very high, and then maybe 60 on high, but still drops here and there, especially when I run outside, even on high. So there does seem to be some sort of bottleneck, some sort of issue somewhere, and these are problems across the board, and I think they are releasing a patch in the next couple of days, but I guess it's just you know, kind of unfortunate that, you know, we have to wait for a patch. But what are your guys' thoughts on this, or just Dishonored 2 in general, if you don't have any thoughts?
I'm kind of happy. The only things I'm having is audio, like, stutters. Like, the audio for me is just, like, I spent, like, an hour going, like, the hell is going up with this? It's just stuttering. And besides that, it's been running fine for, like, relatively fine to what I've noticed. Ultra.
What's your graphics card?
Oh, not that good. It's like, I can't remember.
That doesn't make sense. Are you playing at 60 FPS or 30?
I'm pretty sure 60. I don't remember. Lauren, what do I look like?
That doesn't make any sense, Nova. You're lying.
You've caught me, Lauren. I'm lying to impress you. I'm lying to impress you and all my cool friends. You caught me out, Lauren. How'd you know?
Moo, dude, what do you think?
That's really weird, because I have a 1070, and I was running at like 40 frames at Ultra. So I don't understand.
There you go. But the thing is, a 1070 is the... No, it's above the recommended. So the recommended was a 1060, yet even at that, you're at ultra, still can't hit 60 FPS, and it's strange.
I'm watching Dishonored 2 now.
I have 12 gigs of RAM, but I mean, like, that's a little bit.
That's still good. Like, the recommended, no, actually, maybe it's 16 gigs recommended.
Recommended is 16, yeah, I'm on right now.
Yeah.
But I still can't imagine that would cost 20 FPS, to be honest. It's strange, because my understanding with PC specs, like, it always differs, of course, and they always give, like, a very broad range when it comes to recommended specs. But if there is a certain spec set recommended, I always assume that you can run the game on the highest settings at those recommended specs at a pretty good frame rate. Is that a fair assumption to make?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no, just to disagree with the rest of them.
I'll be the devil's advocate. I like to be the devil's advocate.
Yeah, what's your reasoning behind that? Why do you say no?
next question! Now, I'm launching my Dishonored 2 right now. It'll be about 3 minutes loading, but when it's in that game, I'll tell you.
I have a feeling that Novus is going to like crash out of the Skype call for launching Dishonored 2.
No.
Now that I've asked him to prove his point, he's like, no.
I have Skype running and Dishonored 2, and I still get 60 frames on Ultra.
How demanding do you think Skype is, Lauren?
It actually is very demanding. It's a very demanding app.
It's pretty demanding compared to other stuff, like Discord.
Compared to Discord.
Don't even get me started.
What do you think, Moodoo? Garbage. You just said you played Dishonored 2, right?
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Moo Dude.
Oh, you cut out for a second. So I heard and then I didn't know if you were talking to me or
I'm talking to you. Like, what do you think about Dishonored 2?
I started playing it, and then I was jumping from like 20 to 40 frames. So I just kind of stopped playing it after like 15 minutes. So. Yeah.
And I think that's a consensus across the board. Like, it's just across a range of PCs, it's having issues. It's not just AMD, it's also NVIDIA as well. Arkane have said that they are releasing a patch of sorts to try and address these issues. Whatever they are, it doesn't seem right, because to be honest, like, while Dishonored 2 is a beautiful game, it's not a graphically demanding game. It shouldn't have be having these frame drops.
Can I just say, Dishonored 1 has aged like shit. The first Dishonored looks
good. No, it hasn't. It's not that bad.
When was the last time you played it, Lauren?
It doesn't look good.
I was playing it literally a couple of days ago. It does not. It did not age
There is a Dishonored premium something edition that's up-resed.
The definitive or the...
Definitive, that one.
Definitive.
But even then, how old's the first Dishonored? Only a couple of years old. Like,
is that
like, it really...
The art style they chose didn't age well.
No, but like, it's just like I was playing it, like, I was just like, you know what, for Dishonored 2, I'm just gonna play a little bit of Dishonored 1. And, just like, the resolution on things are really low, like, the texture quality is bad, people look awful.
I was not a fan of the textures,
The people looked really bad. Like, they're meant, like, I understand you're trying to make, not cartoon, but like, a graphic, like, designed style, but it just,
But that's the interesting thing, because usually those games that have that graphic cartoonish style age very well.
Yeah, I mean, this one did it. It aged like milk.
What's the best game?
Aged like milk.
It really did.
Like that.
The best game that I think is, you know, a perfect representation of aging very well is Wind Waker. I think, like, look at that cel-shaded game and you think 10 years later, it's still fine. Not so much like Ocarina of Time, for example.
They have remastered it since the original.
Mm.
Okay, so I'm in my Dishonored 2 now. I mean, I think I'm not getting probably 60. I mean, wait, I'm just going to put
I don't think you're getting 60, Nova. I really don't.
I never said I was getting 60.
I think you did. We should play back the audio.
Playback.
I said mine has been running relatively fine.
Rachel, he's calling you a liar.
Yeah, and you called me a liar once, and I proved you wrong then, and I'll prove you wrong now.
That's brilliant. Well, any final thoughts on Dishonored 2 before we move on to our favorite game news or what we're playing?
No.
I'm just curious as to why, like, I'm seeing a pattern in PC games, personally, like the PC versions of games having issues, and then the console ones running fine, and it's harder to me.
It happened with BioShock the Collection, and I can admit Batman Arkham, right? And
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
it comes down to that with a console, you know exactly what your specs are meant to be, and then you get that done, and they're like, Pooey, let's get this PC done. You're like, we do not have enough time. We do not have nearly enough time to get this working.
Yeah. And, like, there's the whole Rockstar with Red Dead Redemption 2 not getting a PC port.
Here's my working theory. Me and my friends are talking about this. No. Okay, do you know how they waited for it to release the Grand Theft Auto 5 on PC when the new consoles came out?
Yeah.
And they're going to soon release literally their new consoles made for VR.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What if they wait till that and they do a graphically updated edition?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't do it for the first Red Dead Redemption. They said they were going to.
I mean, with GTA, how long did we have between console and PC releases? It was like a year and a half.
I'm assuming,
because I didn't read the forums and I wasn't in those circles, I'm assuming people were upset about that. But eventually, everyone got over it, and now they're happy that they have a good PC version.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, there's no way, especially since they're making Red Dead Redemption 2 online, like, a lot of stuff online, no way in a million years they're going to miss out on the PC market. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
And people are like, the PC didn't sell that bad. What confuses me the most, it really did.
And I'm not a technical junkie or anything like that or an expert, but what confuses me is that I thought the architecture for Xbox One and PS4 are more akin to PC, that this would be easier. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. But in any event, we can move on to more happier things. And Rachel's going to be taking the reins with this one because she wants to talk about Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, boy. So who's watched the trailer?
I have.
Not me.
Just watch it now. Watch it now.
Watch it right now.
After the Mass Effect, my experience with Mass Effect has fucking soured me to this series.
Don't upset Rachel when she's talking about Mass Effect.
You see, I don't understand how this happened to Nova, because I went through the grief with him while he was trying to get this working, and I don't understand how it happened.
I will re-download them and show you, like, I'll send you snapshots of my black-faced character. I didn't even make him black-faced. He was just, like, pure pitch black.
But, like, really, I don't understand. Like, how did you download it?
I didn't know just the
download.
Problem.
I don't know, I don't know.
But in any event, Rachel, tell us about Mass Effect Andromeda.
All right, so I have a couple things to talk about. I wish you guys had seen the trailer. Because
I'm watching it now.
Okay. Because personally, the actual trailer itself didn't quite excite me as much as the orientation video on the website. When you sign up for the Andromeda Initiative, you sign up and it gives you like this orientation video being like, this is what you're going to be doing in this initiative. You're going to be going to the Andromeda Galaxy, and it shows you all this stuff. And I'm like, it's slower paced than the trailer, but it excited me more than the trailer, because the trailer didn't really give us a lot to go on. It was just a lot of snippets of like cutscenes and random quotes that we don't understand yet.
Yeah.
And I was expecting a little more.
It looks beautiful though, doesn't it?
It looks really good.
It looks all right, I guess.
Oh, fuck the Nova, you be quiet as Rachel's talking about Andromeda. I swear to God.
So I've written Rachel. A few notes on what we now know about this game. So it's taking place between Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3. So before Mass Effect 3 is when Mass Effect 3 is when the Reapers come and start tearing shit up. So and it's basically you travel 600 years to get to the Andromeda Galaxy. So and it's a one-way trip. So you're not coming back. Like you're gone now. And this is where you are. You play as one of the Ryder twins, either Scott or Sarah. So that's
cool. So that has two genders. That's great.
Yeah. And the other twin that you don't choose is still very integral to the story, because there's lots of clips with the other twin.
Okay.
And your father, Alec Ryder, was the Pathfinder of the Hyperion. So he was like the original Pathfinder, and for some reason he's unable to lead. Maybe he dies. I don't know. I don't think that was actually said. Yeah. So I kind of call that happening. And then the responsibility falls to you and your twin to lead the pathfinding of this new world for humanity. And the lead ship of this expedition is called the Nexus, and it looks pretty fucking cool. It's huge, this giant ship. And there are five ships making the trip to Andromeda, and one of them seems to be human, carrying just humans, and then the others are what I remember hearing it was just the council races, so just Turian, Salarian, and Asari, which kind of upset me.
Spooky.
It made me a little upset, because some of the other races, like the Krogans and the Quarians, they're so fucking cool, and we're probably not going to see them. We're not going to see them in this game.
You've just upset Rachel, guys.
How? We didn't make Mass Effect.
I'm talking to the developer. You know what? Fucking
BioWare.
Don't interrupt me, Nova, all right? God, say
actually, no, I won't blame BioWare. I'll blame EA.
What? EA, why
challenge everything.
Blame EA.
Where okay.
Am I here in my
so, try. I guess the question I want to ask here is: as someone that hasn't played the Mass Effect series, I know shock horror. Would this be a game?
Well, I haven't
that,
either. So,
well, there's Moodoot. So, would this be
I
a game that anyone?
An awful experience.
Could anyone just jump in and play Andromeda, or do you really need to know the story, or is this completely standalone and just intertwined to the universe?
From what I'm gathering, I think it's a standalone. It might reference a few things from like Mass Effect 1 or 2, but I don't think it's going to really focus on that, because we're leaving the galaxy. We're no longer in the Milky Way galaxy.
And that's probably why they decided to do that.
Yeah, they're completely jumping. This is like, I'm pretty sure it's going to be mostly standalone.
So it's like a New Vegas to Fallout 3 kind of thing.
Or like an Infinite to Bioshock 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to mention Bioshock.
Hey, good lord. BioShock is great.
It's a fantastic game.
You're not arguing with anyone here. Everyone's agreeing with you.
Hey, I know, and I'm just reinforcing it.
Someone made me play the DLC to Infinite. No,
people are going to get angry at me for hijacking the podcast. You've got to stop talking about BioShock. Rachel, do you have any more thoughts on Mass Effect?
Oh, I have a lot more to talk about.
Go on.
Basically, from what I've gathered, where am I here? Oh, the Ryder family is actually, you can customize like your backgrounds. Like you can customize your father's like history or like how you see your father. And like, you can also customize the twin you don't choose to play as. You can customize like, I guess their personality or whatever, which is kind of cool. So they're adding more to like, you play the way you want to play kind of thing. Mm. And they're adding loyalty missions back. So for you guys who haven't played Mass Effect or Mass Effect 2, specifically Mass Effect 2, the loyalty missions were some of my favorite missions of the entire game.
Okay.
You basically have your crew members, and they, as you start like gaining their friendship, they will come to you and be like, hey, I need a favor. And there'll be this serious problem in their lives that you need to help them with. And then if you help them with it, they'll be loyal to you.
Okay.
The catch 22 of this is they're not as important to the main story as they were in Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 2, if you didn't do these loyalty missions, you risked their lives in the final mission and they possibly could die because they weren't loyal to you. So they wouldn't be as...
So that would betray you?
No, they wouldn't betray you. They just like, as you were going throughout this mission, they wouldn't be as focused to your cause. So they would be weaker and
kind of like Nova when he plays Overwatch. Yeah, okay, cool.
Go ahead. Are you Overwatch?
Oh my God.
Don't even. After this, 1v1 me Overwatch. Let's go, boy. Okay, Rachel, here's a Mass Effect question for you. Is Seth Green coming back?
Haven't heard. Probably not.
Oh.
No, actually, I know for a fact he's not because there's no characters from the original Mass Effect series coming back
Not even Seth Green himself?
No, unless he's playing somebody brand new and putting on a new voice, he's not coming back.
Hmm.
He's the Joker's GQ.
Joker's out.
Maybe it's Joker's identical twin brother called Seth Green.
Maybe. Just Seth Green showing up. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Hey, it's me, Seth Green. Yay! I reckon video games need more cameos. Like, just like at like direct just celebrities.
Of regular money. Dudes, not mm-hmm. characters.
Great. Yeah, you're just like, oh, look, it's Nicolas Cage.
Oh, my God.
No, why is he the first person?
That's immersion breaking right there.
Excuse me. Are you telling me Flirtful would not be better if he had Nicolas Cage as a character running around saying what the bees?
He likes to do just a lot of random shit and a lot of shit, yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if he started to pop up in random shitty games. I wouldn't be surprised.
Nicolas Cage!
Or like you're playing BioShock and then just Tom Cruise comes out of nowhere like half your size and is like, what's up?
No, Tom Cruise should be like the head of this religious cult or something.
I'm still important.
No, he'll be the head of this religious cult that tries to attack you and stuff.
I take it back. I just want Owen Wilson in all the games. Wow! Wow!
He's looking so hot right now.
Wow, wow.
Continue, Rachel. I apologize about Nova.
Nova, I just feel bad that you haven't experienced the games like I have.
I don't. They have been an awful experience from the get-go.
Have you played them all?
I couldn't play them. That was my problem. I bought them and then I went, okay, let's get into this. And none of them, all three of them did not work.
But that doesn't make sense. So like you tried to play one.
The first one, okay, so what I'll walk you through what happened with them. So I launched the first one, and I'm, you know, starting to load in. Then there's no audio. I couldn't even read the subtitles if I wanted to, because all they said were subtitles, and then my Shepard was pitch black. I was like, oh.
I reckon this is a problem on Nova's side, and it has to
so be. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the second one. So I go to the second one. The subtitles problem returns and no audio. I was like, oh. Let's go to the third one. And the third one just did not work.
This has to be a problem.
I went on forums trying to figure this out while he was doing this. And it seems to be you downloaded it from like the EA thing, right? Like,
no, yes, I bought it from Origin.
That seems to be where a lot of people are getting the problem from.
So can you buy it on Steam?
They downloaded off of Origin.
Well, you can't get it on Steam.
They don't have it on Steam?
Nope.
No, of course they don't. Oh, it's EA. They're like, my babies.
Can't you buy from GOG or something?
No, but the problem is it'll still be on that, on bloody Origin.
Get a
Rachel's
hard
saying,
copy of the game. Disc it, man.
PC. Go ultra.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to have to physically.
EB Games. Yeah, there you go.
they've ruined EB Games.
Wait, hold on. You said GameStop, Moodoo.
Okay, sorry. We have EB Games. I'm sorry.
That's
we
what
have
I was
going to
say.
Because,
like, in the world, it's Canada and Australia that has EB Games.
I just hear it so much on Twitter and, like, everywhere else. They're like, it's GameStop. I'm like,
no, it's EB Games.
EB Games is 10 times better than GameStop.
I still have my platinum membership card.
You mean when they just nonstop have sales? I have never seen an EB Games what's not been on a sale. It's been horrifying.
I love when you walk by the store and there are sale signs like plastered everywhere and you think, I think EB Games is having a sale. I might walk in.
But no, they Funk Pops or whatever they have, they started off as a, like, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. They have taken over. They need to bloody stop.
But that's
like,
why they have the other stores now.
I walked into EB Games. Half the stores just for the fucking Funk Pops or whatever. Like, you're like, slow down. You don't need that many.
That's why the Zing stores are a thing now. You know Zing? Have you been to a Zing store yet?
Yes, I have.
Essentially, EB Zing? Games opened up a new chain of stores called Zing, and they're essentially merchandise for games, so pop toys, but also just pop culture in general, so movies and shit.
Mainly just the pop toys.
Okay. Yeah, there's like one entire
wall. Why don't they just keep all of the...
Yeah, it seems like
just
kind of a waste of, like...
Because they're trying, my guess is that they're trying to establish, because it seems like there's, obviously there's a slow move of games being sold from physical to digital. So they're trying to really establish this merchandise store just in case, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't blame them for that, but just slow down, Chiefs, with all your fun. Like, literally, not even that, but the Zing whatever, half of that store is the Funk things as well. It's ridiculous.
No, it's like one... Wait, you know what? You can buy Funhouse t-shirts from Zing, so that makes me happy.
Yeah, except I'd rather buy... I would rather give Rooster Teeth my money. I will give them my money directly. I don't...
Rachel, continue with that.
I don't even know where we left off. I'm just... Where were we?
Just scroll through
Okay, well, let's just say this. Rachel, are you excited for Mass Effect Andromeda, and why?
I'm really excited. I think this has I have the hope that it will redeem the series because of Mass Effect 3's ending not being as lovely as
Were you not a fan of the ending?
People.
I don't know what the ending was, and probably
I don't want to spoil it for anybody who might want to still go there, but I think most people who will be listening to this will have experienced it themselves.
I think the
extended version, like they released an extra version of the ending that made it a little better, which was great, but it's still like it, we expected more choice, I think,
but
in the ending
isn't, like, as the old phrase goes, right, isn't the destination, it's the journey.
Yeah, but it's,
except the destination was awful, so then you regretted the journey.
I didn't get as angry as some people did.
BioShock 1.
I was able to expect.
BioShock 1 had shit endings, right? Like, I know that it had shit endings. Like, the whole having two same evil endings and one good ending, I wasn't a fan of. But it doesn't mean I don't like BioShock 1.
No. But here's the thing, Lauren. Did then they release a DLC to make the endings different? Did they have to reach the point where they went, oh, shit, that's really not going down well?
Let's change it in DLC.
Yeah.
Well, but then really again, isn't Mass Effect more like based off choice? As far as I've seen through clips, because, like, you know, you can obviously select dialogue.
Yes, and that's why people got so upset.
Because BioShock is a little bit less choice oriented.
But there was
then.
Choice.
Yeah, that's true.
It was. Do you want to kill or save little sisters?
Do you want to have this really awkward, like, 5-second scene where you're like hurting this little girl, or do you want to?
You kill the child. You kill the child when you do that. Don't say hurt. You kill her.
You're hurting this little girl. It makes it sound so bad, but that's what it is.
Straight up dead.
Like, I feel like I'm some sort of predator when I play that game. Like,
Chris Hansen walks in. Can you please take a seat right over here?
Oh,
no,
God.
Chris Hansen.
Just take a seat right over there.
Please, just take a seat over there. What are you doing here? Well, I was just here to get some Adam. You knew she was here alone. You killed the big dad.
Stop it, Nova. I'll ask this question. Nova's not excited for it. Mooded, are you excited for Mass Effect Andromeda?
Well, I might pick it up because, I don't know, I might refund Dishonored 2 and then get it.
Ooh, really? Jeez.
But I don't know, man. I got midterms. I got stuff to do.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel
junior
you.
High school, bro.
I feel you.
I have way too many games at the moment.
Rachel, what are your final thoughts on Andromeda then?
Hmm?
What are your final thoughts on Mass Effect Andromeda?
I want it to be as good as it can be. I have hope because I remember reading a quote from BioWare saying, if we have to delay it again to make it better, they will. And that makes me think that they actually care.
And it seems like because they released this DLC that changed the ending, it seems like they're very aware of making sure that it's right this time around.
Yeah, I think a lot of the problems that happened with the other games was definitely EA and not BioWare. So I'm hoping that BioWare takes more care and doesn't let bigger, like bigwig corporation people push them around and tell them that they need to do certain things with the game to make it get out faster or meet a certain quality for mainstream or whatever. Okay. I think make the game you want to make.
Can I want to like the Mass Effect series, don't get me wrong, but I just been burnt. I've been burnt badly from the last three.
Like, that's just you. That's just
you.
I think
it's you, Nova. Sorry. Like, I think your PC is something
wrong.
Although
I played it on console, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to play it on console.
Well, don't you have an Xbox
PC
One?
To play a game. No, I have an Xbox. I'm tempted by a PS4 for Red Dead Redemption 2 to be
Xbox One, backwards compat, man.
But I have friends on PS4. Like, let's be honest. At this point, you're picking between Xbox or PS4 for what your friends have.
That's
like, let's be honest. You're not like, all the exclusives. I get Last Guardian. You're like, I really don't care. I just want to play with my friends.
Excuse me. I'm so ready for Last Guardian.
Oh, I have this feeling it's going to be disappointed.
No,
sorry.
I agree with Nova.
Long have you waited?
10 years is going to be great.
Yeah,
I refuse to admit anything else but greatness for that game.
Fingers and ears, la 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 la.
I'm not listening to anything.
Well, there's all these games that people have been waiting for, like Battlefront 3 and Fallout 4 and all this different stuff, and we've all been let down. Mm. You know,
No, it's going to be great.
In Fallout's defense, we're coming out next year. Last Guardian said, we're coming out sometime.
Yeah. What is it, 7 years later?
They refused to let it go because they care. And they could have canceled it. They could have stopped. But they continued to delay and delay because this game was so ahead of its time that they needed to do that to make it the greatest thing that they could possibly make it.
But if you give someone to do one thing for that long, after a while, the quality just drops. Like, I don't know.
I'd be the first to say that it went through development hell. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's been through a freaking roller coaster, but I'm still very optimistic that it will be one of the greatest story-driven games that I've ever played.
I can't stand by that strong, like, because it's just
it's gonna be great.
It's 10 years. It's been 10
let,
years.
Let her
Rachel.
Have this, Nova. Let her have this for God's sake. Bloody hell!
Yeah, it's going to be good. I like puzzle games. I went and replayed Shadow of the Colossus recently.
Hmm.
And it's just like that whole Team Ico. I know it's not the same people, but like the original guy who directed it is still a part of this. He didn't leave even though there were so many problems.
Yeah.
So this guy's got something going on. He's got passion.
Okay. All right.
Here's my thing, though. I wanna watch Rachel. I don't want to even watch the game. I just want to sit and watch Rachel play The Last Guardian and just see her emotions.
Well,
you mean how
it's coming around Christmas time. Maybe I'll do a little Christmas streaming.
These are the two options. Here's because either you're going to be there very pissed off, or you're just going to be like crying and laughing fun.
It's got a big animal in it. I'm going to be sobbing the entire time.
I got to let you know. All right, hold on. We all know that it's going to happen. It's like the dog in a movie.
It's going to die.
It's going to die.
It's either the kid's going to die or the dog's going to die.
It's going to be the dog. And then Owen Wilson from My and Me will come in crying.
Right? Rachel, I got to ask. Have you played Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons?
No, I haven't. Okay. I know I should. I've only heard good things.
It seems that Last Guardian seems to be very similar to that, and you should probably play. It's like 2 to 3 hours long. You should really play.
Yeah, I know. I've heard it's fantastic. Really, really good things.
All right, Moo Dude, what is your, to move this on, what is your gaming news, or what have you been playing this week?
I don't really have much in terms of gaming news. There's like, I guess, Mafia 3 got a update for new outfits and more bug fixes, I guess.
Is it running okay now?
Well, I had zero trouble with it. Like, I didn't have any of the issues that anyone else had on PC.
Oh, you're just lying.
I wish I was lying. All my friends were like, refunded. I'm like, what are you talking about?
No, and then I was with you. Mine worked relatively. I mean, I did before because I was down visiting family, so I was playing Mafia 3 on this shit laptop. And when it came back home, I was like, oh, it's running fine.
Have you finished the game?
Oh, no. Because now I also have Planet Coast, Dishonored 2, Battlefield 1, Titanfall 2. So many games I'm playing at the moment that I'm just like...
I finished it, and it's a great, great ending. But,
the story's really good.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. But the games that I've been playing have been just kind of... I've been replaying Fallout New Vegas.
Of course you have been, for God's sake.
I'm sorry. I wanted to get all the achievements just as Lone did.
But, how are you going with that?
Pretty good. It's pretty good. And I want to kind of do it almost all in one run, except for, like, you know, the parts where you have to do each different ending. But, like, you know, I already have some of those achievements. So
I'm telling you, there's a point. And from memory, it's like you walk out of one of the casinos in the strip and some sort of courier comes to you and says, you can, like, Kaiser wants to see you, and then the NCR wants to see you. It's that point which everything diverges. I think that's how it went.
I've spent too many hours in New Vegas to know everything that happens. So, it's a game where you really have to make tough choices of who you're going to be with, and it kind of, like, I guess, affects you throughout the whole thing. So pretty cool, but I might be a little bit cheaty and download a mod that makes dead money easier.
No, that's going to disable your achievements. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, crap. That's, you know what?
Don't do that. Jesus.
That's a good idea, Lone. Thank you for that information.
You're welcome, because you would have fucked up your save file.
I was
going to
download it tonight and then play through all the dead money tonight and be like, oh, I did it. And then I would have not gotten the achievements.
You would have fucked up your save file, mate. You could
jump off the edge.
God.
Oh, my God.
I remember the worst achievements to get were Fallout 3, because I got all the achievements for that game, too.
Really?
And... yes.
Have you seen Dead Money's achievements?
It's like, not that. With Fallout 3, there were achievements where not just reach level 5, 10, 15. It was reach level 5 as neutral, reach level 5 as good, reach level 5 as evil. And what you'd have to do is save, like, you know, with some experience points left over before you actually leveled up. And then, for example, when you're doing the evil one, go to Megaton, kill a bunch of people, get the experience, and then you get that achievement. Then you reload, and then you somehow get to neutral and then level up.
It was really funny because what he did to get negative thing was, I forget, he went to like Moriarty's terminal and kept on clicking on it and then turning it off and then getting negative reputation for, like, not hacking the terminal, but he would just click on it and then leave and then click on it
stealing,
and then leave.
Yeah.
For like 30 minutes, that was the whole stream. And I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
And so this is kind of why I don't want to start 100% in games again for achievements, because there's a lot of that mundane, grindy stuff that you need to do that is not fun. It's just not fun.
Yeah. Also, a bunch of different, you get achievements from all the different endings. Like, okay, now finish it as the Minuteman. Now finish them as the Institute. Now finish it as the Brotherhood.
For Fallout 4, it's the exact same thing they did with New Vegas. Like, New Vegas, you have to finish with Kaiser. You have to finish with the NCR. You have to... what's the fucking robot's name again? I'm mind blanking right now.
Yes man. How dare you?
I'm sorry.
Yes man. Yes man.
But there are two endings with the Yes Man, right? I mean, one where you help the Yes Man, and the other where you betray the Yes Man. Right?
Yeah.
And there's
like, I believe so. Yeah.
And each ending has like a small difference. So there's like five main endings, right? And then each ending has a small difference. Like you killed Caesar, but you're still fighting for Caesar's Legion. Or, you know, you like deprive the NCR of all its supplies, but you're still fighting for them.
Yeah.
Or you're with Mr. House, but you like, you know, upgraded Securitrons or not. So it's pretty cool. But one thing that people are still like, it's actually pretty active. I forget what I saw in a thread, but people still don't know what technically the good karma ending or the canon ending for New Vegas is.
Has to be NCR. So kind of
because everybody NCR. Has their every faction has their flaws in that game.
Yeah,
which is why, like, what is the true answer? Which is more beauty. Realistic than a lot of games, really. Nobody's perfect.
I will say that was one of my biggest problems with Fallout 4, though. They had no blatantly evil faction.
No, but yeah. Hold on. Okay, they did have a blatantly evil faction. That was the Institute. Come on.
No,
but see, if you go on them, you can get rational. Like, do you know how you can just, like... You can look from no matter what side you're on, like just raiders, basically. Like, do you know how? There's no way in a million years you can say the Legion were the good ending for Fallout New Vegas because they fucking raped, pillage, and slavery. Like, there's no one like that in Fallout.
But I think the biggest thing for Fallout 4 was even when you tried to do bad choices in the game, the voice acting influenced you to do good things because.
Yeah.
But that was the main story that they
wanted you.
I mean, you should be I think pushed to do the good stuff, so when you do the bad stuff, it's a much harder choice.
I remember that there was this huge quest, at the fort.
Fresh.
Where there's this little, like, slave girl who's, like, teddy bear got stolen by, like, a Legion officer, and there's this huge quest that takes, like, over an hour to finish, and you finally get her teddy bear back, and you have the option to tear it in half in front of her. And then she starts crying. Like, the voice acting is superb. That's why I love New Vegas, because you can just do whatever you want. It's
I didn't
so
know
funny.
That.
You just spent like an hour finding a teddy bear.
Yeah, you should
and
be able to do whatever you want roleplay wise.
Tear it in half. It's just great.
Have you ever seen... No,
okay,
I'm letting you continue.
Oh, okay. Well, I've stopped for you. I was being a polite guest. I'm in your house. I'm being nuts. But have you ever seen... There was a mod for Fallout 3, The Pit, what let you eat the baby.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And immunity to radiation, right?
Yeah, but it's so funny. Like, you had the option to eat a child.
The sound, too. It's, like, different from the normal cannibalism sound as well. You're, like,
that's
wine or something.
Quite literally, baby back ribs. Your turn, Lauren.
Oh, God. I remember the most interesting thing I ever heard about New Vegas because I only ever played it as a man. When you play it as a female character, the Legion is just, like, so sexist towards you. It's, like, some of the stuff that happened. Like, for storytelling purposes, you know, it was interesting. And I just didn't know that was actually a thing because I never played as a female.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, if you played as a female, you can sleep with Benny and then, like, chop his head off while it's,
he'll
like...
He'll take you for the tops, baby!
Yeah. You like, bang him, and then he falls asleep in your arms, and you can, like, saw off his head or something.
Yeah, really? I mentioned that in the last podcast I was on.
Yeah, I remember that, I think.
I remember us doing that Mr. Burke's poetry. That was really great.
Mr. Burke's poetry.
But, Lone, can I ask a question? Because you said the Institute's, like, blatantly evil, but do you think Mr. House is blatantly evil? Because they're all essentially the same... kind of thing, because he went to the Institute.
Maybe blatantly evil wasn't the right term, but I guess what I was saying, obviously it's grey. It's a very grey, but they're obviously the eviler choice in Fallout 4.
Yes.
Yes, because I guess
I disagree. So. I think the Institute is the correct way to go, because I think the Railroad are borderline a terror.
The Brotherhood's pretty, like, intense.
They're
and
gray
not
as well.
Really the greatest.
The Brotherhood has essentially become the Enclave, in a sense.
No, not that bad.
Yes. The Enclave isn't that bad. Don't act like you think the Enclave is that bad.
Come on! I mean, Enclave done some fucked up shit, man.
They tried to poison everyone. You have to point that out. Enclave.
Interesting.
Okay,
but that's what I was. They
poison
needed...
every. Okay, that's a different story.
People like they tried to poison. It was Eden that tried to poison everybody. It wasn't just the Enclave.
Eden was
their leader, and he was the worst one.
The Enclave, I think it was in Fallout 1 or 2, is one of them where they were trying to kill everyone with like an air vapor or something.
Yeah, they've been notoriously trying to kill everyone for a while because I think everyone's impure.
Because they lived off on an oil rig for a long time. I believe this is how it goes. They're the ones that are pure. So they were trying to figure out some sort of way to kill everyone that had some sort of mutation, and then they would be fine because they were pure for so long.
and the people in the vaults. But yeah, no, that's what Four needed. Someone you can look at and go, "Hooey, those guys are really some bad apples."
But I think that's what they were trying to go for. They were trying to have enough gray in there to actually make the choice hard.
But yeah, no, I understand that. You need to have gray. I do agree you need to have gray, but then you also need, because Minutemen, there's no way you can argue, can go, they're clearly not the good faction.
That's true.
Like, you look at them like, they needed
to the ones that are trying to help everyone all the time.
Polar opposite of that then.
But wait, you know the Minutemen, you can turn the Minutemen against everyone else, and you can, like, they can join the Institute and they'll kill the Brotherhood of Steel and the Railroad.
No way, really?
What?
You didn't know that? They turn all their artillery against the Brotherhood airship, knock them down, and they, like, fall into a building, which, like, lands on a settlement, I think, or something.
Oh, I love that.
And then you can go in with Preston Garvey and slaughter everyone in the Railroad. And he's like, I'm not sure this was the best decision. And it's like, get in line or don't be in line.
Oh, I'll freaking knock you down. And I didn't even know that was like, a thing.
Yeah, oh, you could start the Minutemen against the Brotherhood of Steel and the Railroad.
That's fucked.
So,
damn, that's fucked.
I love that.
That's brilliant, so cool. Though. This is the thing about Fallout. You play it again and again, and new things pop up. So Fallout 4 wasn't that bad. I'll quickly talk, because we are going a little bit longer. I wanted to talk about the Wii U ending production, and I'm excited for the Nintendo Switch. That's all I want to say. Mm-hmm. I want to go to trendy hipster rooftop parties and, you know, play the Switch. But
Karen. Karen.
So Nova has named the lady in the Nintendo Switch trailer.
The internet named her Karen.
Yeah, the one that had her friends call her over to a rooftop party, and she brought her Switch because it happens. It's very practical.
Well, I mean, you don't need to tell them. If Marty did his job, my picture right now should be Karen, ready to start.
I let him know.
Come on,
in the Twitter chat.
Get on it.
I hope he does. Nova, what have you been playing, and what's your favorite gaming news?
I've just been playing. I've been playing a lot of games. I need to really slow my boat down because I'm playing Dishonored 2, Planet Coaster, Mafia 3, then also Battlefield 1 and Timefall 2.
You got to finish games, man.
Wow.
Yeah, So I need to slow my boat down. I've just been got a bit too much going on.
Alrighty. Well, we've got a bunch of fan questions now into the final segment.
Oh boy.
We'll get into. There's a good mix here.
We're going to talk about the Switch for a bit more. No, about how they go play basketball out while they're playing basketball, or go-karting while
that's
they go-karting.
You know, cool down. Play some basketball on the Switch.
Play the literal same thing you're doing right now, of course.
Exactly.
Okay,
So let's ask some fair questions. Kiddo has one that my girlfriend saw and she wanted me to ask on the podcast for some reason. Kiddo's question is, how soon is too soon to ask a girl out?
If you just meet her. If you just said hello. If you've gone, hello, my name is insert name. Do you want to go
Rachel,
on a date?
From a girl's perspective?
When is it too late to ask a girl out?
It depends. Like, it really depends. Because I've seen people, like, ask strangers out for coffee, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I think that's, like, a very, like, nothing's black and white. There's a lot of gray area in that question.
How handsome are you? If you're really handsome, a woman will head over the hill to go coffee.
Whether
we
like to admit it or not, that's an influence. Like, whether the person
first impressions, I know people are shallow like that. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just how people are.
Of course not. I mean, if someone that you were really attracted to was willing to go out with you and you just met them, then fucking do it. Why not?
Yeah,
and then get out there before they realize how boring you are. Get in and get out. Oh,
that's the problem, if you've just met someone, you take them out for coffee or whatever, if you don't know them enough, conversation can be tough. That's the problem.
Yeah. But at the same time, it depends on how good you are with making conversation, because you could just be like, okay, so let me learn about you. Who are you?
You can be as charismatic as Lauren and just chat.
That sounds horrifying. Who are you? Why are you at this table? Why did you sleep with me? I'm a murderer.
Why do you keep touching me?
Can I wear your skin?
Moody, what do you think?
My Adam. I don't know. I'm in the midst of high school, so, you know. But I think Rachel's right in terms of if you're asking a stranger out for coffee or something like that, because obviously, like, you know, older people like to do that, and it's like, I guess, a little bit less awkward for us. Like, you know, if a guy my age went up to a girl And was like, hey, wanna hang out with me? Wanna go to Tim Hortons or whatever? And they're like,
Tim Hortons, yeah.
That's so Canadian. That was so Canadian.
Hortons for the win. But
Nova and I are just like, what the fuck is Tim Hortons?
Up in here.
I don't know what it is. I just know it's Canadian as shit. Next you'd be like, Dylan, come over for some pancakes and some hockey.
Pancakes are fucking
have
Canadian.
Nice Boston cream donut
with some Canadian
like your
bacon.
Yeah, Boston cream donut with a double double.
There you go. Good price. Double. But I mean, like, I guess like if you're in high school or you're like, you know, at in a college or whatever, I feel like if you know a person, like you've been friends with them for a decent amount of time, and like, you know, then you know stuff about them, it's I guess it's a little bit easier if you're under the age of like 20 or something, because I guess after that point it gets a little bit less awkward. But if you're still in school more or less, then I feel like you should know the person more or less, like at least their last name and like what they like or something. And then you can be like, hey, I know you like computers, I got a great one, how would you like to try it? And then
that sounds sexual
afterwards, like, you know.
Like, hey, want to come over and try my computer?
You want to come and see my computer?
I have a great one.
I have a great SSD.
Solid state dick.
Oh, that's great. That's fucking fantastic. I'd love to know.
Oh, man, I'm using that.
The chances are that's probably worked at some stage in the world.
Oh, my God.
The best shot would be, like, at, like, a PAX convention. You're just like, hey, baby, want to come over and see my SSD? You're like, oh, but I'm too confident.
Oh, God. That would be a lot of confidence. There was one political question here, but I'm not going to be asking about America's election. It's just no.
None of us are American.
No, we're not talking about it.
I don't want to talk about it, but can I just say something?
No.
This is a positive thing that I want to like.
Go on, Rachel.
Say.
Go on.
So there's been a lot of. I'm not going to say anything about anybody's opinions on what happened or anything like that. There's been a lot of sadness and dividing of the world lately.
Yeah.
And I think I hope this podcast can somehow lighten spirits somehow.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about games and hopefully you're here because you like video games.
Yeah.
Love what you love. Tell the people in your life that you care about them and just spread positivity.
Yeah,
that's my advice to everybody right now, because I think we all really need that.
Have you guys seen the Trump Fallout 4 mode?
We're not talking.
It's
I'm putting putting my foot down, and I'm not even hosting this. No talk of
anything. He can be your companion. You can make the wasteland great again.
I'll make the transition, and I'll say this in a very similar vein to what Rachel just said. Look, I was making a lot of jokes like during the election, watching the results pan out, but. And as votes, you know, kind of came in. But at the end, I said, at the end of the day, you know, you've got to combine together as a country and move forward. I mean, whether you agree with like the Electoral College or whatever, one of the pillars of democracy is that after the presidential election, whoever is voted in, you just get behind the country and you move forward. For example, you know, a lot of the times in the Australian election, I'm not happy with who's in power.
Oh,
but eventually, you know, you say, all right, they're in power, you know, and you move forward. Because the thing is, 60 million people roughly voted for Trump, 60 million people voted for Clinton. And you can't just fight with one another for 4 years. It's just not healthy. It's not productive. That's all I'll say. So, yeah.
We have a pretty cool leader.
Sorry?
Daddy Trudeau.
Yeah, your leader seems like a real chill guy.
Hey, everyone says that he's like the hottest leader that we've ever had. Like, I'd show him my SSD.
Don't get me wrong, he's not perfect. A lot of people in Canada will say that he's not perfect.
Why wouldn't he be perfect? Of course not.
Because he's spending a lot of money, apparently.
Yeah.
It's on a double denim, of course.
There's going to be people in the comments who will not be happy with us supporting him at all. So we'll just kind of drop it. But let's just say he's got good qualities. Yeah, he's good looking.
But see, that's the thing about
almost as good as
Justin
Todd
Trudeau
Howard.
Is his name.
Oh, hoo-wee, he's a handsome fella. But
see, this is the thing. That's the thing about any politician, right? They all have redeeming qualities. They all have qualities that are not so redeeming. And
exactly.
That's like any human. Like, you're never going to meet someone that you agree with in every single respect. And it's the exact same with politics. It's the exact same with politicians. And that's the most important thing. So what I always say is never... What I always say is never be swayed, or try not to be swayed by a politician's personality. Look at their policies. That's the most important thing. What other questions do we have here?
I didn't get asked about the girlfriend thing.
I posted a question.
You answered like first up.
Well, I did actually. Sorry, I'm sorry.
You're so pushy.
I'm such an idiot. I just want to be loved, Lauren. I just want your love.
I know you do.
Oh, I posted a question a while back in the thing. You should probably look at it.
Okay, so Rachel important. Asks, why is Maddie avoiding her? Rachel, why do you think Maddie's avoiding you?
I don't know. I don't understand. Can I put... Every time I'm on this podcast, he just leaves. I don't understand what I did.
Do you know what the funny thing is? Like, again, he'll upload this podcast to his channel without listening to it until like a couple of days after. And then he's going to come to this bit and think, Rachel,
what the fuck?
I'm not avoiding you. No.
See, well, Rachel, you are a Canucks fan, so I wouldn't blame him. Okay.
Who cares about hockey? Here's the funniest thing is how many times have I been on this podcast now? Like
three?
A good couple. No, yeah. I think it's four. Three or four?
Yeah.
I have talked to Maddie once, and that was when we were playing Doom. Besides that, I just tie myself to Lauren.
Because there are some people that are always trying to get on.
There's at least one section where we roast Maddie. There's at least
I would say it's roasting.
Hey, they always do the same to me. Whenever I'm not on, they always pay me out. And you know what? It's time we pay back the favor.
Pick
me up.
He thinks he's too good for us. He thinks he's too good. He decides, I don't need to be there.
I know. Nah, how dare he?
How dare he?
I've gone into the habit because of you, Lauren, of calling him Matthew, because whenever you mention him, you say it as Matthew. So then one time...
His name is Matthew. Slipped.
No, but one time I let it slip when we were playing Doom, and he's like, no, it's Matt. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Do you know what the funny thing is? Like, when I started calling him Matthew, like, he was fine with it because it was me, but a lot of people started to do the same, and he was getting so annoyed with it.
It's just because that's all you refer him to, so it's just in my mind stuck as Matthew, and I'll just say it without thinking, and then go, oh shit, he's like, it's
Matthew.
It's
Matt. Is such a lovely name, it really is.
It is.
It a really lovely is. Name
for a lovely boy.
Well, that's questionable. His name is his redeeming quality. Let's say that. and here's one question that's not gaming related from Lorenzo Cristofolini. I can't pronounce your name. I'm so sorry. What is your favorite movie?
Oh, God. Ooh. Oh, no, I can't even answer that. There's too many.
There's a lot. I have a lot of favorites.
Yeah.
One of my ones that I'll like to always go back to. Well, there's a number of them. I Am Legend, The Last Samurai. I love the Harry Potter films. Fast and Furious are my guilty pleasure. I have weird tastes.
I'll give you my... Genuinely, I'm not even kidding. My guilty pleasure movie is the National Treasure franchises. I love that shit. It's so bad. Fucking love that. I eat that shit up. Hmm. We're going to steal the President of the United States. Cage, that is kidnapping. You are kidnapping that man.
How do you like Nicolas Cage movies, honestly?
There's an art behind Nicolas Cage. There is genuinely an art. There's so much madness.
Did you like Ghost Rider?
I love to hate it.
The movie was just awful.
Yeah, no, exactly. But Nicolas Cage just gives it all. Like, you know what I mean? And even what he's giving isn't that much.
Mood dude, Rachel, no, we're stopping to talk about Nicolas Cage. What are your favorite movies?
Oh God, there's so many. I like American Beauty is a really, really great film. I like the Alien franchise.
Oh, good girl.
Good.
They're
one.
Like literally some of my favorite movies.
Rachel, you mean the first two, and then we don't talk about any of the others.
The first two are the best. I accept the other ones because I just some of them are entertaining. They're entertaining.
It's like your third or fourth child. I accept you. The first two are better.
I should have stopped, and I might not stop again. But I'll accept that you exist at least, Stephen.
So bad, Stephen.
Oh God!
You should have said Matthew. That would have been just a tip of the cherry on the cake.
You live, Matthew.
Moo dude, what about you?
Probably almost anything Quentin Tarantino does, but my favorite two Quentin Tarantino movies are Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs. Mm-hmm. I really love the original Scream movie. It's just so bad, it's good. What else?
Another one.
Wait, my last one, which is probably actually my favorite movie, probably Forrest Gump. I think that's
so good.
I didn't like Forrest Gump that much.
Really?
Really?
Not really. I think it's a bit...
Love is like a box of chocolates.
My favorite thing in the story is James from Funhouse said, watch Forrest Gump with the idea that he has AIDS and he's immune to it.
Oh my god. No.
That he has cured, like he can't get AIDS and he's been giving it to all the people.
That's terrible.
Awful and I don't respond. I'm not going to even acknowledge that that was said.
Rachel, you said you had a lot.
I have a couple more. So I recently watched a couple of things for like October's horror month and stuff like that. So I rewatched The Shining and that's fucking phenomenal.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Also the movie Seven with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. Really, and Kevin Spacey is the villain.
Anything with Morgan Freeman
is
great.
Books?
It's such a good movie. Also Bram Stoker's Dracula with Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman's great.
This was the funny
thing. Shawshank Redemption's a good movie, too.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption's really good, yeah.
Isn't that, the most highest-rated movie on IMDb?
It is.
It's great.
It's mean shit.
Oh, yeah, I also like The Godfather. That's a great movie, even though that's, the second most rated on IMDb.
Yeah,
this is
the funny thing. I was on a holiday with my girlfriend, and it was raining for a couple of days, and there was some shitty... it was kind of like a Filipino channel or something, and they just did a huge run of The Godfather movies. I like them. And my girlfriend hates them with a passion. Like, she thinks they're so boring.
That's like, one of my favorite games has been officially called the most polarizing game of all time. Deadly Premonition. You either fucking love it or you fucking hate it. I think it's one of the greatest games to ever touch the planet. It's Twin Peaks, the video game.
Okay. I've never played it.
I've never played it, but I've heard of it. I've seen a couple of things from it, and I'm like, I think, it's either you love it or you hate it.
It's just a method of madness that is so enjoyable to play, like genuinely enjoyable.
What platform is it on? Is it on the GameCube? Question mark.
Is it on the Nintendo Entertainment System?
To end this, and because we didn't talk about it, this is the one thing that I will say about the Nintendo Switch, just to completely change topic. On the virtual console, have every single game ever released on Nintendo consoles released on the Switch. Somehow.
It worked.
Not going to happen.
It's still not as good as the GameCube.
The GameCube was an interesting console because I never owned it. I had
you better watch your tongue there, son.
I know. I'll be fine. I'm not going to get angry at it or whatever, but I borrowed it from, my brother borrowed it from his friend and I played it. I loved Wind Waker. I loved, I can't remember what else I played on it, but I never owned the GameCube. It was something that we just borrowed, so I don't have those fond feelings. But I remember, Moodoo, in the last podcast you were on, you talked about how you grew up with the GameCube.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I grew up with an Nintendo 64.
First thing. I know. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. It was a fine console. It just had a weird little disc.
I will say, I think it was I don't remember if this was a PlayStation 2 game or if it was a GameCube game, because I had both of them.
Probably both.
Well, it might have been. I don't know. But it was one of my guilty pleasure games. It was a fighting game called Marvel Rise of the Imperfects. It's pretty cringy, but it was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
Can I quickly do my favorite news of this week? What? It's really quick. Destroy All Humans got remastered to PS4. Fuck yes. Mm.
Whatever that
Hoo-wee,
is.
That, oh, it was my shit. Like, I got it really, when I shouldn't have. Like, I got Destroy All Humans 2, and, I really shouldn't have got that game. Like, it was, like,
Your main antagonist for the first level is just called Bong Water, and it's just a bunch of hippies running around getting high and having sex.
Oh my god.
It was such a great game.
Friday night. So anyways,
on that note, let's end.
That's the end of this podcast. As always, thank you guests for joining me. This has been a blast. It's always great to have the Canadians on and the one Aussie that's always on my podcast, Nova. Hello. Thank you, everyone.
The Canadians.
Love you.
The Canadians.
Well, okay, the Canadians can also end this podcast however they seem fit. So,
hey, I sang a song last time, okay?
Oh, it's Rachel's turn.
Yeah, you did.
Rachel has to end. I also sang a song.
You did? I don't remember that.
I remember.
Butcher Pete, remember?
You sang Butcher Pete. Did what you? I really remember is when you sang I Got Spurs, whatever the name of the song is, and you were like,
oh, God.
You sang it, jingle, and I was like, Rachel, jangle, you have a good jingle. Voice. That was decent.
No shit. She's doing theater, dickhead.
I study this in school.
Yeah. This is what
Vancouver.
Dude. Can't give a compliment nowadays without getting fucking jumped on.
Thank you, Lone. I appreciate your compliment.
What a West Coaster. East Coast is the best. Sorry.
Oh, shut up.
There's nothing to do in Canada. You three can fight and end the podcast however
you all seem fit. All right, I want to stop talking now. Thank you for joining everyone, and they're going to end the podcast.
Hey, Rachel, remember that one time you got really drunk and me and Lone and you streamed? That was And on that note, follow me on Twitter at NovaBean23.
Follow me on Twitter and see all of our crazy antics. It's going to be great. Our lives
are boring.
Really fun.
Don't move here, please.
Her internet fucked up and she forgot her password because she was drunk and she couldn't log back in.
And then she messaged Shaz going, I forgot me password.
See you later, everyone.
That was a bad night, okay? I woke up and I felt like garbage.